Welcome to Build Better Brands. I'm Danielle Clark, and this show is here to provide insights, techniques, and strategies to help you establish a better brand with confidence and clarity. We're on a mission to help as many people as possible start and build stronger brands so they can create happier, healthier lives for themselves and those around them. Welcome to another episode of Build Better Brands. Today, I'm joined by Konstantinos Synodios of Simply Digital. And Konstantinos is a marketer and entrepreneur, and he helps businesses, including athletes and sports professionals, become globally visible. So thank you for joining us today on the show.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So as I said before, we kind of jumped on. I've been following you for a little while now. I found you on Instagram. And at time of recording, I believe on Instagram, you have 364,000 followers. But then on TikTok, you have 2.2 million followers. So it looks like things are going pretty well. So congratulations, first of all. Can you tell us what's been your strategy for getting those kinds of numbers?
Well, to be honest, it was just an experiment. When I realized, you know, the opportunity that lays ahead of us with short video and the whole thing that TikTok really started with how much attention span has changed, YouTube short video, this kind of format, you know, has dominated the attention of people. People really love the fact that they could get tons of value, tons of entertainment, tons of inspiration within 10, 15, 20 seconds. So this entirely changed, you know, how people were consuming and creating content. 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago, when the first quarantine, you know, started in most countries. So as a marketer, you know, when you see something that grabs the attention of people so much, so instantly, and such in such a different way. And when I realized that organic reach is really cheaper than ever due to short video on TikTok, I thought that I had to jump in and see if there is something, you know, in there for me. So experiment, see if I can really fit in the culture of the platform, adjust my content to the content type that people love to see. So yeah, it was pretty much an experiment. I'm in the whole content kind of universe the last 5-6 years. I started with YouTube. I created Greek content back in 2017, 2018, when I launched my agency here in Greece, and I wanted to use content as a vehicle to attract clients. And then, you know, the short video Instagram came in, short video of TikTok, and by experimenting and being consistent and adjusting to the different kind of learnings that I got through the process, brought me to this point, having the biggest digital marketing channel globally right now in TikTok, Instagram, and Pinterest combined.
Wow, that's incredible. You say it's been an experiment.
Yeah.
So often experiments happen by just trial, error, accident. Was this the plan? Did you always want to be an entrepreneur and a digital marketer and have this massive social media following?
No, to be honest, I never had the plan of becoming a social media persona or an influencer or whatever you can call it. It was never my plan. I love entrepreneurship. I am into this digital entrepreneurship field the last 7-8 years when I quit my multinational, my corporate job back then for a British firm, actually, Diageo.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, after 10 years in the corporate world, I was like, okay, I want to give a try to the startup reality. So I launched a startup 7-8 years ago, a sports startup. Because of my background, I was an athlete, so I had to find a way to bridge my two passions, business and sports. And through this process, I realized that, you know, I'm really lacking skills of digital marketing, how things are, you know, happening in the digital space, because I was really a solid marketeer about, you know, the traditional way of doing marketing, the FMCG reality, how to run successful commercials online and above the line. But I was never, you know, into the digital space, and I had to acquire skills quite fast in order to help my business grow. And Simply Digital was an accident in a way. So Simply Digital was an accident that I had to create in order to fund my startup that was lacking funding back then, 2017, 2018. So I created an agency and I built it around me, because for me it was a no-brainer, was the low-hanging fruit, you know, to build something and start making money day one. And that's what happened. Started in Greece. And then, you know, and that's why I say always to people, you know, you don't have to know exactly what you want to do. You know, just take the first step as you see it at this point. You know, whatever you see at this point, just take that step. Just take it. And then, you know, you're going to see your vision going to get better. Meter by meter, day by day, you know. So that's how I came, you know, I came to this point that I was never expecting it, never expecting to have a big audience doing other things rather than, you know, just purely digital marketing. And for me, that's the excitement and the beauty of entrepreneurship in general, because it's a journey that you need to have this kind of magic, you know, surprise happening after you follow a path and, you know, things unveil and you see new things, you grab new opportunities, you become better for sure. So this, you know, makes things easier and faster. And yeah, I'm really excited about the next day as well.
Awesome. I think it's so true what you said about starting, just taking that step, that initial step, putting one foot in front of the other and seeing what happens. And what interests me as well is you said that you were an athlete. So you wanted to bring that your experience with and your love of being an athlete with running a business. Now, how has being an athlete helped you in business? What transferable skills have you used? And what were you doing, actually? I was going to try and guess what kind of athlete you were, but...
I think you will not.
Baseball?
No. I was in the national team of Greece in karate. So I was a martial artist for many years.
Oh, wow.
You know, one of the major traits that you acquire through martial arts, especially if you begin as a kid, is that, you know, you get discipline, you get... this kind of consistency in doing stuff that you know that you will never see the results the next day. So, for example, in karate and in martial arts in general, you have to repeat specific movements for thousands of times in a deadly boring way, in a way that doesn't make sense at all at this point. But it makes sense after, you know, 6 months or 1 year that you see that it becomes second nature for you, you know, a specific movement, a specific technique. You improving and perfecting, you know, specific moves that you could find it impossible at the beginning to do. So this kind of mindset and adjustment and the discipline that you get through martial arts is for me everything in entrepreneurship, because, you know, that's how you need to adapt and that's how you need to adjust when you start a business. You need to start doing those little steps, do stuff that are really uncomfortable for you, and super boring many times and super uncomfortable and don't make sense at all at this point. Like, you know, creating a video and getting zero views. I mean, it's not very attractive, right?
No.
But after a while, you know, you see that, you know, the fruits of your labor come out and you start getting it. It gets easier and you understand why the process was like that. So for me, that's the main part of entrepreneurship that I got from my martial arts days.
Amazing. I'm guessing there's been lots of learnings through, you know, from obviously your previous hobby. I mean, do you still do karate? Is it something you do still now as a hobby, or
just in my free time? It's not, you know, part of my daily routine like it used to be, for sure.
Yeah. And often it's not until we're in business that we go, I wish I'd known that. I wish someone had told me about that so that I could have avoided this or something going wrong or happening. What do you wish you'd have known before you'd have started your business?
Many things. But to be honest, some lessons need to be learned through experiencing the mistakes, you know. Even if I give you the tip, they give you the advice from somebody who has made the mistake. Still, I've seen that, you know, most people need to make the mistakes themselves to really learn it. Because that's how we have been used since we were kids, you know. Mm. Lessons learned are that's what they say as well. They are repeated until they, you know, until you get the memory, until you get the lesson. So one of the things that I wish I knew was that even if you don't have any idea about what kind of business you can create, you can become the business yourself. So you can build an entire business on your skills, on your unique things that you have as a person. So most times when people are like, you know what, I want to start something, but I have no idea what to do, or I don't know what kind of the next big thing is, or what kind of a great idea is. And they never look inside. They always look outside to find, you know, the next shining diamond. You don't have to. You have to look inside, like I did when I was, you know, broke. My first startup was failing, and I was like, okay, Konstantinos, just look inside, see what are the things that you can really bring to the table, what kind of values you have and traits you have that you can really bring to the marketplace and get paid for that. And let's build something around that. And that's what I did. So Simply Digital became Konstantinos. Konstantinos became Simply Digital. That's what I did. And I said, okay, I have a 10th year experience in marketing. I have a solid branding experience. Let's see who are the people that can really get benefit from that. So that's a great lesson that many people need to learn, that you don't have to look outside so many times. The answer is inside you.
I think that's really interesting. I was trying to surround myself with mentors and people that I see as being quite inspirational. And a lot of them say that it's better to, in terms of making mistakes, it's better to learn from someone else and see what someone else has done. But I think the point that you've just made is really important, that things don't really sink in. They don't become muscle memory until you've actually lived it and been through it yourself. That's when you really realize when to do something or when not to do something. So
yeah, and sometimes, you know, it's a really time saver and life saver if you get a mentor that has done exactly the journey that you are trying to achieve as well. You're trying to travel. So if, you know, you want to build a $5 million business in beauty and you have an entrepreneur that has done it already, just hire him as a mentor. You're going to learn so much from this journey that, you know, it can save you tons of time and tons of money. Because, you know, many people say, okay, Konstantinos, how much you charge? $300 per hour. Oh, that's expensive. No, it's not expensive. Because you might save years in a couple of hours of consulting with a mentor, you know?
Yeah.
Save years because you're repeating stuff that are not working and it took me 2 years to learn. So mentors connect the dots faster for you rather than you're going to be connecting them yourself. So get a mentor ASAP if you find one that matches your desired journey.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I totally agree. I've had lots of mentors. I've got mentors now. Even looking back, a lot of my teachers were mentors. Obviously, they were teaching me, but some of the lessons that you get in school and college and university, they become lifelong lessons that start to shape you as an individual. I never forget one of my lecturers at university. I used to always have my phone with me in class, and I used to take calls in there, and I didn't see the problem. And I remember her pulling me to one side and really saying that your conversation, your energy, especially if it's not a good conversation, is having an impact on the wider group. And at the time I was like, what is she talking about? But now I look back and I realize how she was really teaching me a life lesson about keeping personal stuff away from your working life and being professional and not having distractions. But at the time I couldn't see it. So I'd really like to know, who's been your most important mentor, either professionally or personally?
To be honest, you know, I've been mentored by many people business-wise. Some people that had launched, one of my first, you know, colleague friends in Procter & Gamble who has had launched a startup and won the big award back in 2 years before I do it. So I was really inspired by this guy, and I was like, maybe this is the way that I'm looking to follow as well. And I got mentored by him. I proposed him to be a consultant in my first startup. So I was always trying to model the steps that other people were following before I follow them. That's what I was always, you know, trying to accomplish. Then when I started my digital marketing agency, I got mentored by Neil Patel, not in person, by really dedicating myself, you know, in understanding his steps and his content, etc. And then big help for me mentally wise and mindset wise was my therapist and my NLP coach 10 years ago. So I think that those two people, you know, have really helped me improve in every single aspect of my business and personal life. You know, how I treat things, how I approach stuff, how I set my boundaries in things I do personally wise and business wise. And it can really change your life, really. Doing therapy with yourself and being mentored by an appropriate person can really change everything for you.
What's NLP?
NLP is neuro-linguistic programming, something like that.
Okay.
The acronym. And actually is a way to reprogram your mind and get rid of the limiting beliefs that you have as a person, because everybody has been programmed as a kid to believe things and not believe other stuff. So, and many times we have a limiting belief that we don't even know that we have it. So the whole idea of the program is to identify those limiting beliefs, be aware of them, you know, and try to change the program in your head so you can really focus on the things you want to do. And also to make the changes mind-wise, but also verbal-wise, because, you know, words have power. What we say can really trigger things in our brain that we don't even understand.
Absolutely. What we say really does matter.
It's life-changing. It's life-changing. Yeah. If you look it up about NLP, really. And one of the great guys in this field is Jim Rohn.
Yeah,
he's one of the people that I love watching even now.
Yeah, same here. I've got his audio books. He's amazing.
He's insane. He's amazing, really. So yeah, he I think he was one of the first NLP experts in the field. He's the teacher of Tony Robbins. So yeah, people need to get into that field, you know, personal development, NLP, identifying your limiting beliefs, working with a counselor that can really help you, you know, mindset wise. Mm-hmm. It can really improve everything, because entrepreneurship is not just, you know, making the right steps or investing in the right businesses. Is mostly about mindset.
Yeah, I mean, it's really true. And one of the things that I've been doing a lot of is journaling and doing gratitude journals and things like that, and yeah. getting my mindset right first thing in the morning. I still get distracted by this thing, right?
For
those of you listening, I'm holding up my phone because in the morning my phone is the alarm goes off on my phone, right? So it's the first thing I pick up. And then before I know it, I'm switching off the alarm. Then I'm looking at the weather. Then I've got a notification. Oh, I'm looking at that. And my head's already full of stuff that isn't important, shouldn't be the first thing I think about. So I'm trying to get out of that habit and practice gratitude, think about the things that I'm really grateful for. And then think about the things that I really want to focus on for that day, you know, things that will make the day great. So I agree with you that mindset and also being really focused as well is super important for anyone that wants to be an entrepreneur and have a successful business. Do you have, everyone's going on about morning routines. Do you have a morning routine that you stick to or try to stick to?
I'm trying most of the days, you know, to stick to a specific routine. So cold showers is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
It helps me a lot, you know, to clear my head and start with energy. My day, it's a life hack for me.
Yeah.
And especially for people that can really do it consistently, you really see the benefits of that. I try to do it at least, you know, 10, 15 minutes of exercise in the morning. First thing I wake up. So I wake up, I go straight to the cold shower. Then I do 10, 15 minutes of exercise. And then, you know, I go back to the shower for a normal shower. And then, you know, I start my day. I either go outside because I love working outside. I live in Athens. I'm in a very sunny place.
Oh, amazing.
South part of Athens is really sunny. I'm living close to the sea. So they're very beautiful places for digital nomads to get inspiration from and really enjoy their workspace, because most people hate their workspace. You know that. And I believe that, you know, if you hate your workspace, nothing great can happen ever. So that's how I started 7-8 years ago. I spotted the best place here in South Athens. And I was like, this will become my new office for the next years ahead. And until this day, every single Monday morning, I'm in the same place, watching the sea, planning my week ahead. And this, you know, changes everything, the whole perspective for me.
Wow, that sounds idyllic. A little bit jealous. There's just been a hailstorm here. So, you know, it's not sunny and warm and there's no sea out the window. Never mind.
Yeah. That's why you need to become a digital nomad.
Well, I thought about it, but I don't know. I don't really like flying that much. I'm not great at flying at all, actually. So yeah, there's a bit of a sticky situation there with getting over that, but hey ho, we move. So you've worked with some massive brands. The next question I want to ask you really is, you know, people have this perception of brand, especially as people that work in brand ourselves. You know, I always say to people, branding is more than a logo. But with everything that you know, with all the businesses that you've worked in and building your own business and helping professionals become more visible and build stronger brands, I'd like to know what brand really means to you.
Well, brand for me is like a person, you know. Every single person has different elements, like the personality, the visual part, the appearance, and the character, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just one thing. It's how I look or how you look or what kind of personality I have. It's my character that really helps people shape a specific image for me. Like visually, I will speak to their heart, I will speak to their mind, and they're going to have, you know, a full image from my voice to the smell of my skin, or, you know, my vibe, or everything I do and I am as a person will be part of my brand. That's the same for everything you do. Either you have a product or you have a personal brand or whatever. So you need to create something that is really appealing to the mind and the heart of the consumer, your ideal consumer. You need to speak to their minds, like, you know, communicate effectively the benefits, what you stand for, what you don't stand for, what you come to solve in this world, but also to evoke emotions and relate to them with them in an emotional way, because that's mostly what people do in order to make a buying decision. They need to have some kind of trigger in their emotional world rather than just, you know, something that, you know, is a no-brainer. So, and that's all, you know, of course, something that you can really accomplish by becoming consistent, by having a specific branding strategy, knowing exactly what you need to be, to have an identity, to avoid stuff that are not in line with your brand because, you know, trends are saying so or whatever, other people are doing so, whatever. Or maybe, you know, sometimes people get mistaken and believe that they need to follow another brand steps in order to build a successful brand. And that's what people really don't understand, that every single brand has a specific stage We have branding stages, right? Some brands are really mature. Some other ones are really juniors, and they're becoming right now to build their own story and their own meaning in the marketing reality. So you need to follow specific steps, but you need to have a very clear positioning about yourself so that you can help other people also get the positioning for you. Because, you know, as we say also always, if you don't brand yourself first, people will brand you for you. And that's not a good case.
No, absolutely. Yeah, you've got to, this positioning, you know, positioning yourself, it's, talk about it all the time. And it's not an easy thing to do, especially from your own perspective, which is why I think it's so important to get help and get that outside view, because it's the same with yourself. It's really hard to self-analyze. It's really hard to work out who you are as a person, the sort of vibes that you give out, the way that you communicate with people. It's like when I watch myself on video, I see things that I say and little faces that I pull, and I'm like, well, I didn't realize I did that. I didn't realize I looked like that on camera. And you get this, you start to see yourself from, you know, other people's perspective. And I think it's really important to be aware that as a brand, you might not really know what people really think of you and how you're portraying yourself. And it's good to get that outside opinion from your customers, as well as from people that are experts.
Yeah. True.
So obviously content creation is something that you do a lot of. As you said earlier, you're on Instagram, Pinterest,
TikTok,
YouTube. Have I missed any?
Facebook. Yeah, so that's pretty much it.
So you're definitely omnipresent, right? How's Pinterest going? Because that's one that isn't often talked about, Pinterest.
Actually, I own Pinterest right now. If you go in the, you know, if you start searching for business stuff or marketing or digital, you're going to see my face all over the platform. It's crazy. And it's and it's really a case that proves, you know, that whenever you see an opening, you need to get it. Because, you know, when I started posting on Pinterest, the only thing that was clear, it was that they have introduced the video pins, so that for the first time you could really post videos on Pinterest because of the whole thing, you know, with short videos, so Pinterest couldn't miss out. And I saw an opportunity like I saw on TikTok. So within 6-7 months, I reached like 75,000 followers on Pinterest, and I have some 6-7 million views per month on my videos, which is insane, because all I did was just repost the videos that I already had in the platform. And it's 40% US-based audience. Is the, you know, it's mostly female audience that, you know, is not my main audience. My main audience is male. So it's, you know, many people saw me first time on Pinterest.
Yeah.
That's great. Another touch point, right? So that's what marketing is all about. We as brands, as marketing people are trying to get into, you know, the most touch points as possible. That's what, you know, the marketing lessons have taught us back in the university, that you need to register a message, register a branding voice to people's head for multiple times before they can really relate with you. Go further to the marketing funnel stages of converting and, you know, trusting you in whatever you showcase or ask. So, yeah, we just leverage whatever tools we have available, whether it's called email marketing or it's called TikTok or it's called Pinterest. You just need to understand your resources, your ability to serve those platforms and to feed them consistently. And then, you know, just be yourself and do it in a way that really elevates your brand and not copies somebody else's efforts.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, out of all of these channels that you're on, which one's really working for you at the moment? And is there a particular platform that you're really going to double down on? You know, what is the future of content creation for you?
Well, for me, YouTube has been and always is going to be the king of video content, always. So That's what has substituted television since, I don't know, 10 years now, 15 years now. It was really fast to adapt in the new reality of short video. So they have introduced reels in order to biggie bang the whole panic with short video. And we have seen so many channels, including mine, that grew really fast on YouTube comparing to the previous era of long form videos, where it was really, really difficult, especially at the beginning, to even see a very small uplift in your views. So I got in 7-8 months, I got 22,000 subscribers, mostly because of short video. And now I'm also doubling down because I really believe in the power of YouTube, both in increasing your revenues, but also to nurture your existing audience with long videos. Because when somebody really invests 7, 8, 10 minutes to watch a video of you, is really much more invested than watching 15 or 20 seconds of you every single day. Yeah. It means that really believe it's worth it, right?
Yeah.
Because people's attention right now is insane. It's insanely short. So yeah, definitely YouTube for me is a main priority. Short video is still a priority for me. Of course, every single day I post on Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. TikTok right now is in a slower pace versus what it was 1 year ago or 2 years ago, that everybody was getting, crazy views with so minimum effort. And that's what really we see right now. We see the consequences of this wave of, low effort, high reward kind of era. So many creators jumped in. They saw the craziness and the instant gratification of the platform. So they got really, they felt really comfortable with that, and they believe that it's going to stay forever. And this generation of creators that were never trained in the hard reality, which is, as a creator, I need to be really consistent, to work my ass off for many years until I start getting a small change in my views and everything. So, and that's why those people gonna, quit early. And that's why everything is gonna be recalibrated in a more normal way. Because, the creators that are really consistent and keep, putting content out and keep improving, they're gonna win anyway. Even if the views are low now, or they are fast on Instagram or whatever. So that's what I want to say to people always. And that's what I'm saying always to people, keep being consistent. The algorithm is going to change. The status of the platform is going to change. But, at the end of the day, the one who stays longer in the game wins anyway.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the thing a lot of people forget about winning is that in order to win, there's got to be some failures that have happened. Because unless you give things a go and try, you don't stand a chance. But in order to get that win, you've got to keep going, you've got to keep trying, you've got to fail, and you've got to get used to failing and get comfortable with it, because it means you're progressing and it means you're learning. And share as much or as little as you want, but is there a failure that's really taught you something? What's been your biggest failure? And what have you learned from that experience?
Well, I have tons of failures, first of all, tons. And I'm very happy and very grateful for them. And there's no such thing as failure unless it's definite. Unless, you say, okay, that was it. I take my pieces with me and I leave this path. It's not for me, right? That's a definite failure and you lost. In the case of everything else, it's part of the journey, because it's just, small adjustments to get you closer to where you need to go. So when I started when I launched my startup 7-8 years ago, I really followed a strategy that was focusing on getting funding and getting my business in front of investors, rather than really focusing on making a business that will be a standalone business that will get the money from people and become so valuable that, getting money from them is a no-brainer. It's not something that we really need to be trying so hard for, because I was really trying to become a chameleon and try to adjust in every single aspect and request from the investors. Do this. I want a 3-year plan. I want this feature that can really help us monetize faster. And, this really is a rat race that makes you lose the eye from the target, which the eye of the target is, I want a business that can make money day one from people that will really find it useful. That's it.
Yeah.
So that was a great learning from me, a great business case. And that's why my next business, Simply Digital, was launched Thursday night. Friday morning, I had my first revenue, my first client. Wow. That fast. The proof of concept was that fast.
Mm.
And that was, you know, just a way for me to say to myself, you know, I took the lesson. I will go super simple this time. No super investment in a big platform. I created the platform with a friend overnight, Simply Digital website. And then, you know, I just started posting and I got my first client day one. So keep it simple, get your proof of concept and keep going that direction.
What else do you need? Keep it simple.
Yeah.
Simply Digital.
That's what the name is. That's what I say, you know, to people that, you know, you need to become the brand. Simply Digital is nothing else but me. Mm-hmm. It's what I represent as a marketeer, as a business person. I believe in simplicity, in no fluff, in no, you know, no excuses, just you know, to the point things. And really believe that you can do it. So yeah, that's really represents my story.
And what's the plan for Simply Digital over the coming year? Have you got any big plans for the future?
I always have plans, you know.
Are there secrets?
But as I said before, no, I have a secret. Yeah, I might reveal it now. So for me, you know, as I said before, I don't really make, you know, 10-year plans or whatever because to my experience, I love what I do. So I don't have an exit strategy right now, whatever, to quit everything and go to Bahamas and drink mojitos every single day.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, I do. You know, things change fast in life. You never know. But right now, I really enjoy what I do. And I always see the next step in front of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
As I said, I was never visualizing what I do right now 5 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 2 years ago before I start TikTok. So I take one step at a time. This environment, it's super fast growing and super fast changing. You cannot really be realistic if you say, okay, in 5 years from now, I will have two NFT projects. I will have this. I will be in Web3. You have no fucking clue what's happening and what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
Things are changing so fast. So what I do is that, again, I don't focus on the external circumstances. I focus on the internal ones. I know my strengths. I know what I'm doing. I know what I want to do more of and what I want to do less of. So we will be probably launching an AI platform within 2023. Is something that we want to do to bring a real product out in the digital entrepreneurship universe. We're going to be launching more courses and more programs that people can be educated by us and learn exactly what they need to do in order to build brands, grow a business, grow on social media and everything we are doing already. And yeah, that's pretty much it. Not too many things in my basket right now. I'm trying to focus on things that I can really scale and make them bigger and better.
Awesome. Well, it all sounds great. And I've loved speaking to you. So thank you again for your time today. If people want to, I mean, you are everywhere. But if people want to follow you and connect with you and find out more, how can they do that?
I think that if they search for Simply Digital, they're going to find me everywhere. So Simply Digital, it is in every platform. If you search me, you're going to see this kind of neon kind of color somewhere. And you're gonna understand that you're in the right place.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Konstantinos.
My pleasure.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you, Daniele.
Thank you for listening to Build Better Brands. I am so grateful to have you tuning into the show and I'd love to thank you personally. So wherever you are in the world, remember to tag at Danielle Clark Creative in your social media posts and stories. Let us know when you're listening. We want to know what you've enjoyed about the show and give you a show tone. And if you would like to help more people like you discover the show, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. It's going to help us rank higher and reach more listeners. It's also a great way for us to help you with the problems your brand might be facing. suggest a topic in your review, and we might feature it and you in one of our episodes. Thanks again for listening. See you next time.